Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me, don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there staring back? I said staring back at me. Ooh, it's been a long time coming. I love my shell, I love my scars. Enough for the both of us. I love myself, no I don't need help. I needed
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transitional Wisdom Podcast, where Nash and I discuss all things trans and queer related from a variety of different perspectives. Our goal here is to share stories and experiences in the hopes of connecting with others and also furthering education surrounding trans related issues. I think it's important for us to know that we're all so beautifully different, but hey, we're not alone.
Today, C is going to share with us their experience with their upcoming hysterectomy. You're going to share your entire journey with it, right?
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So how I kind of decided that it was time for a hysterectomy was it was just time. Like, I don't know, I had like a lot of things line up. I'm very blessed to have really good health insurance at the time through my employer, so that's always something that I consider. Never wanting children as well is another thing. And also, I'm a little over 3 years on testosterone, and so I know that there are quite a few studies that individuals on T within the first 5 years should consider a hysterectomy, because that I believe there's long-term side effects or symptoms of PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome.
Ovarian syndrome, I think. Yeah.
Yes. I wrote down the letters, but not what they stood for.
You did great.
Thank you. And so there's, you know, higher risk of cancer as well involved with that. So I just felt like those things kind of led up to it just being like, yeah, I should probably consider this. It just makes more sense.
The right time.
The right time. Perfect timing. I'm also very lucky that I have the insurance that I do. And I know that with my current job, that they are going to cover it. So with wanting to move soon, it's imperative that I also get it done with the insurance coverage that I have. So those were all like kind of the main factors that went into it. Health, not wanting to have children, and also having insurance.
Those are important factors.
Yeah, I would think so. But other than that, I picked the place. It's one of the top, I guess, OBGYNs in my local area. I really didn't want to travel to get one done. I didn't want to have to go to like Chicago or down to St. Louis or anything like that. Especially not having a partner this time around. I wanted to be close to home and more of like a support system here. So that was important. So I picked, I don't even know how to say their name. It's like a really long, it's like four different doctors. and I went into the center, and surprisingly, it was very nice.
You mean presentation-wise or like aesthetically?
Yeah, like presentation-wise. It wasn't gendered. Like, I was kind of, like, expecting to walk in and it be very, like, pink and, like, that kind of stuff. And it was, like, very mild tones in there. So, like, that was nice. They did, as soon as I told them my preferred name was C, that's what they started going by as well. So that was a nice change. And then how I planned into it is I did a whole bunch of research on the different types of hysterectomies, because I wanted to know, like, what my options were going to be and, like, what the different recovery times were. I also think it's important to go into a surgeon with a list of questions that you have. So you don't go in completely blind.
What were the three types that you learned?
Laparoscopic.
Uh-huh.
abdominal and vaginal, I think is the third one, I believe.
So the biggest difference is like the external scars, right?
Yes. And how long it would take to recover. The laparoscopic is the robot surgery that goes in, and usually minimal scarring as well and a shorter recovery time.
I had laparoscopic and I had it with the robot too. And that one, I have 4 incisions on my stomach. 4 small incisions, you know, they're probably like an inch each maybe. And one of them is in my belly button, so you can't see that one.
Mm-hmm. So I also had options to, it depends on what you want taken out, for lack of a better term, like what structures you want to keep or don't want to keep. I've opted for a total hysterectomy, which is just everything. How was explained, my surgeon does not leave in a cervix regardless. I guess that is an option.
For me, it was.
Okay, yeah, she does not do that because she said there's really no benefit if you take everything else out and leave the cervix, and also that there's a higher risk of cervical cancer if you leave it in. So why would you keep it?
That's exactly what I was told, so that's comforting. Yeah.
It is nice to know that we're getting like similar information. And then also she talked about the ovaries and whether I wanted to keep them or not. And her only worry was someone being as young as I am that I would go into menopause. I'm not sure like how likely it is. Like I could probably either immediately go into it after the surgery or I don't know when.
But isn't a hysterectomy essentially menopause anyway?
That's kind of what I was going into it thinking that. So like that wasn't an issue for me.
So are we wrong on thinking that though? Like, is that not true?
Well, I guess if you leave your ovaries in, you won't go into.
Ah, fair. Okay.
So I was already prepared for the uncomfortableness that will bring. So that wasn't a big deal to me either.
Yeah.
Which is why I am electing for the total. So I scheduled an appointment. It was about a month wait from the time that I called and made one till the time that I got in.
For your consult.
Yes, for my consult. And then it was partially frustrating because I went in thinking that I would get a date at that time and that they would do whatever they needed to do to, like...
That might partially be my fault.
No, because I did expect an exam. I went in expecting an exam at the consult.
Okay.
But then I just, like, talked to her and asked questions. And then, like, then they set my ultrasound for, like, the next day, which is what I didn't understand. Right. But I feel like, you know, at other places it could be different. They could do it all at the same time.
Right. So this was a literal consult with nothing further, whereas...
Correct.
My experience was different than that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it could be different. So I guess that would be a question to ask as well when setting an appointment that I didn't think to ask.
Yeah.
But I did really like my surgeon. I made sure to ask if she had had any trans patients before, and she has. I thought that was important, and she was just very, I don't know, I had a very good vibe, and, like, I mean, we talked for about 30 minutes or so, and I just felt really good about, like, how our conversations went. And she also said that she was not going to do an internal ultrasound because she felt that it was invasive and also unnecessary, and that she could just do an abdominal ultrasound. And so that's what I ended up setting for the next day.
And then you came back for that, and what happened from there?
Then I went in, and the abdominals, they put the gel on your stomach, and then I had to go in with a full bladder, which was very uncomfortable. They also called me an hour before my appointment and told me that I needed to have a full bladder. So I literally chugged like 30 ounces of water before I went in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that sucked. And, had the ultrasound, and she said I had almost no follicles on one ovaries. And I believe follicles are what are the potential of making babies. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Did she say why you don't have any? Like, what does that mean that you don't have any?
Hormones.
So the testosterone has basically lowered your ability to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yes.
Awesome.
I believe the follicles are what somehow. Like, I think yeah, you need a lot of them.
It releases the eggs, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I believe so. But then one of my other ovaries did have quite a few follicles, and that's what she thought was surprising. It's like, I don't know, I'm fucking weird.
See, you're non-binary. Half your body's right? Like, oh, half maybe I'll get pregnant. Like, yeah. And then the other half's like, fuck on. No. That's hysterical. So when you were having the abdominal ultrasound done, did you have any feelings of like dysphoria or discomfort or...
No, you know, did not
it feel,
really.
Did you feel okay doing that? Because I know the vaginal one obviously can be incredibly...
Yes. Whatever. Yeah, I was just glad I didn't have to have that one.
Right, right. So you felt totally at ease doing this.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I thought it was really interesting. Like, she pointed out everything, like, on the monitor and everything. And like, I watched her, like... Because what they do is they measure everything. So they can get an estimate of how much they have to take out, basically.
Okay.
So I was watching her take, like, measurements of everything, so that was pretty cool. But, no, and I think I also, maybe it was good that it was split into two, because, like, anytime I have a first appointment at a doctor's office, especially there where I was completely surrounded by presumably cis women, it was definitely nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And, like, whether or not the room was pink or not, like... Like, yeah, that helped, but still being surrounded and just feeling like, oh, like, they're asking, or, you know, like, getting looks or whatever, which I don't really think I did, but, you know, you just think about that.
Well, even if you weren't getting the looks, like, I know for me, I always felt like everybody was staring at me, and mm-hmm. they could have no idea, you know, like, they probably weren't staring at me, but I always had that sort of sense that people were constantly looking at me, because that's what I was used to my whole life, was being yeah. stared at and judged. So I definitely get that. When you're in the office, did you feel like you had to, because I know you said that your doctor has had trans patients, did you feel mm-hmm. like you had to explain your identity, or did you feel like you had to educate her or anything, or did you feel like it was as though you weren't trans and you were just a person there for this procedure?
Like, developing, I felt like I needed to develop that level of, like, understanding from right. the get-go, and no, I really didn't have to explain anything. Like, awesome. It was pretty straightforward. I mean, I didn't, like, she probably thinks I'm a trans man, because I don't know if she's well-versed with non-binary. I just said I was trans. I didn't, like, go into, like, they-them pronouns, like, non-binary, that kind of stuff.
But at the very least, she understands yeah. what trans is, so that's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I was explaining, like, and she was like, you know, she understood more. That's, you know, that's why she did recommend the abdominal... over the internal ultrasound as well.
That's so important. What my doctor did was, like, at my console, I actually had the exam, and, you know, I'll share more about my experience later, of course, but, like, I had the exam, she did an internal, you know, like a pap smear, and did the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then because I lived in Seattle at the time, I thought my wait time to actually get a hysterectomy was going to be like 6 months or something. So I went in well before I was actually ready to have my surgery. So because my consult ended up being, I think, about 5 months before my actual hysterectomy, she needed to do an exam closer to the hysterectomy just to be certain nothing had changed.
Things didn't change.
Mm-hmm. Right. So because of that, I was like, it was so traumatizing to do this once, like, and then to have to do it 4 months later. Like, or 5 months later, felt like a lot for me. So she actually did an exam. Like, they put me to sleep for the actual hysterectomy. And then instead of just starting a hysterectomy, she did an exam first or whatever. So I think it's really amazing that your doctor, like, mentioned that to you, because thankfully you already knew that, but you may have forgotten. You may have, mm-hmm. in the moment, you may have been, like, overwhelmed. And because I've done that, just overwhelmed and forget. But... that's awesome. And the good thing is that now we know that she's offering that to other people who probably might not have any idea that that's an option, and they're thinking the worst. They're going to have to do this vaginal exam.
Mm-hmm. Now we know to ask.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when I was checking out from my ultrasound, they said that I'll be seen again in a couple weeks just to go over everything, like all the measurements and everything, and just to, like, set in stone... like, this is what we're taking out, this is the procedure, and, like, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm an over-planner, so I guess I do like also having that extra appointment as well. When I went to check out, I had this older woman, and she asked, she's like, "Are you checking somebody out?" And I was like, "Yeah, myself."
Oh my gosh. And what'd she say?
She didn't miss a beat. She's like, "Oh, okay." I mean, she called me by my birth name and all of that, because I don't think it's on, like, the computer charts. It's just, like, written down on stuff. So,
okay.
So, I mean, but that, I mean, again, that doesn't bother me. So maybe that's another thing to point out is, if you do have a preferred name, maybe make sure that they change it, like, in their computer chart, if that's a possibility, you know? It didn't bother me. I just thought that moment was funny.
Yeah.
So then after that, they said that the hospital would probably call and set up lab work. And all that, because the hospital themselves do it for this type of surgery. I can't just go to someone and have it done. And then a couple hours after my appointment, I got a call from my surgeon. And she said that there is a couple things that they had to appeal the hospital to do my surgery. Because the hospital in the area is a Catholic hospital. And because of their religious beliefs, they may or may not allow her. They made her write why she should basically be allowed to use their facility to operate on me.
God, I'd love to see that letter.
I really would too. I think I may ask her, and I kind of want to see like what the appeal says as well.
But also, if she had to do that for you, what about the other trans patients she's treated? She's had to do this every time?
I'm not sure. I didn't actually talk to her. I talked to her receptionist, and like I didn't even think about asking that because it took a minute for it to like click, like what she was saying to like what actually, because like she didn't use those words. But it just, like, took a second for that to click, and then I was just, like, I don't know, kind of, like, numb, but also, like, very angry, and I don't know. I had, like, a lot of emotions about that and just, like, thinking that this is real life. Like, a hospital can turn someone away for, like, they're getting paid, you know? Like, they're still making money off of this, but they're not going to possibly allow the treatment of me or other people like me because of our identity.
Yep.
Yeah, just like, I don't know. It blew my mind, but I mean, I know that's like the minimal of like what we have to go through, but
it's like the everyday reality for some, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely just like a slap in the face reminder of like, oh yeah, there are like real life repercussions to identifying the way that we do and living our lives.
To being us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to just being us. Yeah. So she said if I didn't hear anything, then that was good news. Yeah.
And did you hear?
I didn't hear anything.
Okay, good news.
And then, yeah, and then they've called a couple times to set up labs, and I just did that today. So.
Cool.
That'll be soon in the future.
And so what are some of the questions that you asked the doctor?
So as I mentioned before, like I did a lot of preparation, just like researching hysterectomies in general. And then I also asked you questions as well. And just other people who have obviously undergone this as well. And so my questions were, first and foremost, I asked her, if she had ever had a trans patient, which we covered, cause that was important to me. And then what organs or structures would be removed. So then we went over all of that, the ovaries, the cervix, fallopian tubes, I believe, and maybe that's it. I think so. Then like, she just kind of went over all of those and like the risk of not taking them out and the risk of taking them out. And then we went over the three different kinds was also on my list and what she thought specifically she would recommend for me. And then I asked about inpatient or outpatient surgery. I know that a lot of people are outpatient, so that's kind of what I went in like expecting to be told was that, yeah, you come in and have surgery in the morning and we let you go that night. And then she prefers to keep overnight. And then I asked about recovery time as well. And any work restriction or pain expectations. She does the one night overstay, and then that's to make sure eating, drinking, and that the pain level is also managed before she releases as well. And then we just went over my specific work restrictions and how I wanted to continue on afterwards. I asked about menopause, which she had already answered when I asked about what structure she would take out, because then she went over, if you take out the ovaries in someone at my age, there is that higher risk of going into early menopause. Oh, about Kathy. If Kathy was going to be taken out during surgery.
Kathy the catheter.
Yes, Kathy the catheter. She'll be staying for a couple hours after waking up. And then she said it would be taken out soon after. And then I asked specifically about medication in regards to still continuing shots.
Oh, and?
And she doesn't see a reason to stop testosterone. Because she says that her opinion is that my body is going to be going through so many different hormonal changes as is. That's also stop T before, during, and after could also offset the menopause or whatever else is trying to balance out with the hormones.
Interesting.
So she said if I feel like doing it, like she's not saying I have to, but if I feel like I'm up to it and not in a lot of pain or whatever, I can do it. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah,
because I've heard that a lot of times you do stop like at least a week or two before and maybe a week after or something at least like that.
So for mine, because it was laparoscopic, they didn't require me to stop.
Okay.
Ahead of time or anything. But for my top surgery and for phalloplasty, I was, because I think it's because of it's the bleeding, right?
I think so. And that was my list.
You feel confident in those answers and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Cool. But I'm going to be developing more for the next appointment as well.
Great. Maybe you can update us when you do that.
I will.
So in all this, like what are you feeling this whole time that as you're prepping, as you're going through it, like what are the feelings you're experiencing?
A lot of nerves. But it's like that same kind of like what I had, like it's not quite as much excitement as I had for like top surgery, because I feel like that's more of like a physical difference that you see, you know, as opposed to just knowing that I need to get this done type of thing, which I mean, there is some excitement in there, but it's not quite, I don't know. Happy, anxious type of thing. It's hard to describe. It's more just a lot of nerves. And then also my prep has to be different as well than it was before going into it and figuring out how, you know, who am I going to ask for help this time around? You know, how much of this can I do on my own? When can I do stuff on my, you know, that kind of stuff is different as well. So it's a lot more personal planning, like logistics, than I feel like emotional, because I feel like emotionally, like I'm ready for it.
Sure.
In a way, like I've known for even before transitioning, or, you know, starting this journey, as I like to call it, I knew I didn't want to have biological children. So like that was always something that I knew. So like coming into this, you know, 10 years later, it's not like, you know, as much emotions that I feel like I have to go through, because I know a lot of people, you know, they do want children of their own. So like, that's something else that a lot of people have to go through and have to, you know, work through and stuff, and go through those options. But like emotionally, it's more like logistically, how am I going to get this done?
Right. Which I think is interesting. Because of course I think it's expected that you'll have more emotions like that are not logistic.
Yeah. I feel like, and that's like society's pressure as well, because, you know, having a family and having kids is like such a, you know, it's pushed on a lot of people to, you know, like when you tell people, no, I don't want kids, they're like, oh my God, what?
Right.
Like, that'll change for you one day. Oh, you'll meet the right person and that's going to change. Like, I really don't want kids right now.
Right.
Like, or for a very long time and none of my own.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's jarring for people.
It is jarring because it's further, like, you know, it's further away from what I think, like you said, society puts on us as far as what we're supposed to want or do or whatever. And so we're getting rid of that ability.
Like, as long as I can remember and ever thought about it, like, the idea of ever being pregnant, like, terrifies me. Like, borderline, like, I don't want to use the word disgust, but, like, yeah. I would feel so foreign. Like, even just thinking about that, like, makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
I don't want something inside me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's, you know, I have to, this is going to sound weird, but, like, I never really, first of all, I've never really thought about that, like, like being inside you part. But now that you're saying it, the first thing that I thought was, like, I remember how claustrophobic and, like, and disgusted and, like,
mm-hmm.
my skin just always felt like it was crawling when I had the catheters in for long mm-hmm. periods of time after my phalloplasty and after complications. And that feeling of, like, the feeling so claustrophobic and, like, just not, like, my skin crawling
mm-hmm.
is exactly what I immediately felt when you just said, like, having a baby grow inside you. Like, that's what it feels like for me. And it makes me feel badly because I'm like, wow, this is something like maybe I'm supposed to feel differently about or whatever. Or I once had the option to have this, like to carry and birth a child, and like somebody else who might really want that can't. So part of me feels guilty because it's like I'm wasting an opportunity. But then I think for me, one of the biggest things is, like, it just doesn't feel in line with who I identify as. And, like, I identify as a man, like, mm-hmm. period. And I 1,000% believe and support that anyone who identifies as a man or identifies anyway can have a child, and that doesn't take away from their masculinity or from their masculine identity or any of that. But for me, personally, it feels like it's just not in line with how I view myself, and that could change, like, but all I will say is I'm 31 now, and never in my entire life have I ever wanted to have a child inside of me. I've wanted to have children, and that's gone back and forth, but I've never wanted to be the one carrying the child.
Yes.
So, and for me, that, you know, what's funny is, like, for me, that only furthered to me that I was a man. Like, you know, before I transitioned, like, one of the ways I was like, well, no, I'm not a girl, was by saying, like, was by telling myself, like, well, I never want to have kids, so, like, there's one less girly thing about me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of interesting because I don't think it makes you a girl or not girl, or a boy or not a girl, or not a boy, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it doesn't designate your gender, but it's interesting how that was something that I used to, like, look to as reassurance that I was a man. Like, you know?
And it's still held true.
Right. But I think, I mean, well, what do you think? Do you think that in a way that's kind of like this internalized transphobia that I saw it that way? Because, like, part of me says, like, it might be, but then I'm also like, no, to me, that's more of like society trying to reinforce this so hard.
I feel like it's internalized transphobia if you're projecting that onto other people.
Ah, like, okay.
Because I feel like that's something that solidified for you going through your own checklist of trying to reconcile what you feel inside to your gender identity.
Okay.
But I don't think that's, I don't know.
Right, because I don't feel that way about anybody else. Yeah, I don't feel that way about anybody else. I think, like,
it was just something that helped you, you know?
Yeah, it was the same way I looked at colors. Like, to be like, I don't like pink because that's girly. And so, oh, I'm a boy, you know, like, but mm-hmm. I think that's labeling, whatever. This is a whole other conversation. But
we can only do what society had for us. You know what I mean? Like, everything was binary when we were growing up.
Right. And society is trying to make me stay on the topic of the hysterectomy topic instead of...
Yes.
Well, so what concerns do you have moving forward with the hysterectomy? So, like, you know, your date is going to be here quick before you know it. like, do you think that as you get closer, like, are you feeling nervous? Are you feeling any concern? You know, you mentioned that the hospital is a Catholic or whatever. What is it called?
Yes, and it's OSF, so Order of, like, St. Francis. And it's also the number... What worries me is that they're the number one trauma center in, like, this part of Illinois, like, south of Chicago, like, north of St. Louis. And they're, like, a level one trauma center. So I just, like... They treat everyone. So, like, I know that they're a good hospital, but I'm worried about... I mean, I hope their nurses don't... aren't just, like, I'm sure that they're not all Catholic, because, like, I highly doubt that. But you know what I mean? Like, I am a little bit nervous about that. So that's something that I'm going to bring up with my surgeon and see, like, who's on her staff type of thing. Like, if she brings in her own people or if it's hospital staff, you know, and just bring up my concerns with that. And I believe I have to stay overnight.
Okay.
I believe she likes one night observation just in case anything does go wrong. I'm already there at the hospital.
That's reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I was supposed to go home the same day and ended up staying overnight because of my issues. So, like, it's good that they're keeping you overnight to just make sure, you know?
Yeah.
Especially, and so also your doctor had said that you'll keep a catheter in for a few hours after surgery, right?
Yes. So that was another thing that I asked, was if it was taken out before I woke up or if she left it. And she says it's usually taken out a couple hours afterwards. So I'm still probably going to be pretty drugged up at that time.
Hallelujah.
That it won't be a big... Yeah, that won't be a big deal. And she said that she leaves it and just to make it easier, like the waking up process and everything else. Again, just to make sure everything is going okay.
Right. And then recovery-wise, what were you told as far as how long to expect being out of work or not being active?
Yeah, so that's another thing. Being out of work, definitely one solid week until that'll be my follow-up. And then probably another week or possibly only going to half days, depending on how I feel.
Okay.
I did talk to her. Another thing that I recommend everyone doing is asking their surgeon for specific types of work releases. Cause with my job, we're mandated overtime every week. So I have to minimum work 44 hours a week. I also have on-call days. You can also get low manned, which is being told you showed up to work and then you have to work another 8 hours after that. So, like, there's a lot of hours that can go into my work week, which, yes, I'm sitting down, but I don't want to run the potential of working 60, 70, 80 hours my first week back. So I'm going to be asking for a work restriction when I do go back as okay. well.
Okay, that's important. I didn't think about that since mm-hmm. I don't have to go somewhere for work. Like, that's not something that really... I needed it as an issue mm-hmm. kind of thing. So,
and, and she said that usually, like, a week or two, depending on how I'm healing, is fine because my job is, I sit all day.
Right.
You know, I sit at a computer. And she said if it was something more, labor intensive, it would be longer to be off.
Okay, and then was there anything else she told you to be careful of? Oh, how about sex afterwards?
Haven't talked about that. That's on my next list.
Oh, okay. Okay. That was a question I asked.
Yeah. It's on my next list for sure.
Sex was on my mind.
Yeah. It wasn't on the forefront of mine at the time. But it's definitely being asked at the next appointment.
Okay, so you'll have to let us know next time.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Transitional Wisdom Podcast. If you feel like you would like to share your own story or you have a topic you want us to cover or simply want to show your support, please shoot us an email or visit our website. All of our contact info can be found in the episode details. Special thank you to Janelle Mack for creating our amazing theme song, and to AJ, our sound engineer, who makes all of this possible. And of course, to you, our listeners. Thanks.
Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. the bone.